kindergarten kid died at 31. Well, she's going to take care of the kid for a couple of days. And she won't be here.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order at 6:02. Roll call, please.
Okay, Chairman Rosenblum?
Here.
Director Woods?
Here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Secretary Scheifele?
Here.
Director Cristiano's sense of regrets. Public input. Moving very long. Minutes from the September 20th.
Not received any proposed changes or modifications. I move that we approve the public minutes for September 2017.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to abstain because I was not here. Communications. Secretary Scheifele.
We have two letters of communication. One of them is it's from the FAA. I'm not going to read it to you. It'll be available when everybody wants it. Basically, the FAA is saying to us, and apparently to everyone, that they will no longer be responsible for leasing the control towers if the control towers are contract operated. And in our case, they're telling us that the lease that they currently have will expire on September 2019, and it will not be renewed. The confusing part about this is the fact that when I was sitting in as the airport manager, that lease had expired, and I contacted the FAA, and they didn't even know it. And they said they definitely wanted to renew it. They did renew it, and that's the one that expires on 30 September. It's a no-cost leases. We lease it to the FAA at no cost. So it's not very clear what is going on with this letter, unless it's a shotgun letter to all the airports, and they are, in fact, paying rent at some other airports, and they're terminating that. Other than that, I don't think we need to do anything on this.
I spoke with Brian Bean, the tower chief at National Tower.
Yes.
He read it because I forwarded it to him. He said, I have no idea. He forwarded it to his supervisor. His supervisor said, I have no idea, and that they would look into it and get back to me once they had some clarifications to what this is all about.
Okay. If you don't hear back from them, could you call this fellow directly?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, it's 30 September 2019.
There is a statement in here too. It says, in cases where FCC space is required for FAA staff and equipment, a Federal Aviation Administration real estate contracting officer will make contact to coordinate follow-on actions. So we'll see what Brian Bean supervisor comes up with. If I don't hear anything from them, I'll call this Lisa Bush Cottle. A little clarification.
Alderman Schoenemann.
Can I ask a question on that? Does the FAA own any of that equipment, or who owns the equipment up there?
The FAA owns the equipment.
So, but they don't say anything about pulling their equipment out, because presumably, even though it's a no-cost lease, they're storing their stuff.
Yeah, the title of the letter announced the timeline for nationwide termination of space leases for federal control tower operations.
Okay, let me read that so you can read here. According to our records, the Federal Aviation Administration leased the air traffic control tower space at Warfield, 93 Point Road, etc. This correspondence serves as a notice of the FCT lease,
Federal Contract
Tower, dated July 1st, 2006, bearing lease number blah, 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 entered into between the National Airport Authority and the United States of America for floor space located in the airport traffic control tower or field shall not be renewed, and rental will terminate effective September 30th, 2019. Again, it's very, very unclear.
Are you saying that you renewed it 2 years ago?
February of this year.
February, but that references.
They don't know. Again, I think all this is just filling the blanks in me. Yeah, it's wrong. It's incorrect.
I wonder if what they're saying, if I may, sure. I wonder if what they're saying is that they no longer have any responsibility for anything in there either, because at least it assigns responsibility. Even though there's a zero payment, that's kind of the way we think of a lease, but at least assigns and conveys some responsibility, typically. So I wonder if they're just saying, not ours anymore.
Could it take the Midwest, ATC could take it over, it would actually behoove them to do so, they have no problem.
Yeah, right. That's all to be discussed
and
do
that. And other questions to keep in mind.
Westport, that's a very good point. You know, if we build a new control tower, the FAA will fund it. We build it and turn it right back over to the contractors to operate the tower. It's going in the service. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay.
Can we list this as old business on the in the future and tenders so we don't forget about this?
Sure. I'll turn in the project list for the agenda.
Agenda.
Yeah. The second communication is from the State of the Department of Transportation. It's the folks at the aviation branch that we deal with. And apparently, Carol Nivola was at the airport on the morning of October 4th and observed through an open hangar door things that she felt were not aeronautically correct. And has written a letter asking for clarification as to who owns it, who leases the building, is it in accordance with the lease, with the grant assurances, the equipment in there does not appear to be aeronautical in nature, and they asked for a reply. Chris, you want to talk about that?
Yes. the hangar question. There is, in fact, an aircraft that is housed in the hangar. The aircraft happens to not be on the field at the moment. It's in Hampton getting a new engine and a new prop. So what I did is I contacted National Jet, who owns the hangar and leases the hangar to this individual, and I told them what was going on. I quoted them a copy of this letter, and I say, I need you to give me in writing, tell me in writing, that there is in fact an aircraft based in there. And if there is an aircraft based in there, then this won't be an issue. And I also, I'm jumping on a piece of paper here. I looked up online, because Carol stated some information here where I could find, you know, the regs that pertain to the grant assurances, et cetera. And what it says, so here's what I wrote to Mary Parker and Bob Berg. I'll just go over this a little bit again. I received a letter of inquiry from Carol Nivola, Senior Planning Aviation Planner from New Hampshire Department of Transportation, regarding the possible non-aeronautical use of a hangar unit within Hangar 19 building, which is owned by your company. Included with this letter, you'll find a copy of the inquiry letter. Then this is where my research came in. I said, please rest assured knowing that I have reviewed the FAA policy on the use of hangars at obligated airports, and we are an obligated airport, as we all know. And it clearly states the following. The primary purpose of an aircraft hangar is aircraft storage. If a hangar is serving its primary purpose, the storage of aircraft, then storage of non-aeronautical items in the hangar does not violate the airport sponsor's federal obligations. And this was copied right from the FAA's position that they changed last year sometime. So then I wrote, I do believe that there is an airplane stored in the hangar. I actually know there is, but I needed it in writing from them. They forwarded me a letter stating that fact. And I subsequently had a follow-up phone call with Carol from DOT, and I explained this to her, and she said, that's fine. I said I would give it to her in writing. She had a list of questions on here, and we discussed that as well. And I said, in all reality, I'm not going to answer the other questions because there's no violation here. And she said, okay. So she was satisfied with that response.
That's all. Thank you.
Moving on to our treasurer's report. Thank you. We have both the August and September's financials in the packet. August was deferred to discuss to this meeting. So I will address both ones at one time. So we'll look at page 43. And 44. Actually,
45.
Yeah, there's some blank. Yeah.
That's the class of seven zero.
We can double-side it. I just never
Okay, because when you print these out, it comes out blank, the blank pages.
Right, because I feel like it's easier for you to have them like this instead of having them on two sides. So I just put it in a blank page. So when I print it off, I don't have to set it. So in for a blank page.
Okay, great. So we're looking at page 43 and 45, which is the September 30th financials. Land lease income is running ahead of budget. In the budget, we had not budgeted for any rental income from the Daniel Webster College leases, and we have been paid on those leases to date, current. So that was an unbudgeted income item. Also, we have miscellaneous income of $3,900. In September, we received $2,400, as was discussed at the last meeting. There was some unreimbursed expenses in the project from Gale, and that has been money is received, and that was deposited into miscellaneous. And for the prior month, we received a check of about $1,500 from an insurance company for the work we did on a accident that occurred on the field. Otherwise, expenses for part-time wages, we had budgeted some. We've not paid any. We're going to relook at when the history of when those expenses actually hit. They're primarily for the winter time for snow plow removal, so that will be adjusted going forward. The other item that jumps out a little bit is the vehicle repair and maintenance. We're about $4,100 over budget. And I understand that we had, it was a timing difference. There were a good number of items that we purchased in one lump sum to take us through the winter. And also there were some parts and supplies that we needed for the equipment that we had received free from the federal government. Otherwise, the expenses are all within budget. We have net income to date of just over $10,000, and we are running ahead of budget pretty significantly. We have budgeted a loss at this point, but I think we're in very good shape. So I'd like to make a motion to accept the treasurer's report and the audit.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item is tower report. You have the traffic count on page 47. And for the month of September, compared to last year, there's a typo in there for September. But,
Show me that last.
The French spelling.
So we're down about 600 counts, about 11% for the month of September. But year to date, we're behind about 5%.
Any notion what the decline? I mean, it's been pretty good weather.
And then we were off to a slow start because of the weather, and then it picked up.
That's really the third worst month this year. First two were March and April.
Next item is airport management report.
Okay, so recent events, Susan and I and Nick and Matt from Gail, we played in the Gasama annual Gasama Pilots and Drivers Golf Tournament to benefit youth aviation education. And I'd like to congratulate John Leland from Nashua, his team, for the victors that day.
How did our team do?
We did great. We did okay.
We had fun.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Okay.
It was a good cause. Yeah. We'll do it again next year.
And a lot of people who started.
Yep. Trying to recruit John Leland for our team.
They're trying to get rid of me.
We didn't say that.
Oh, we did too.
Well, I was hurting after the tournament, so it might be me. upcoming events, there was a Young Eagles event that was scheduled, and it was canceled by Air Direct. The event coordinator was Dave Plantier. He was far too busy to take care of the Young Eagles thing this fall, so they backed out of that. I think next year, we'll try to make that happen, even if he's not the one coordinating it, maybe we can have somebody else run the event. But, you know, that's important for the airport and the children. Other items of interest, on September 25th, I had a discussion with Ken Miles from Collings Foundation regarding new hangar development and their desire to relocate from Worcester Airport to Nashua. Now, Joe and I have been talking with Ken for quite some time now. But this time they're involved with an existing project, construction project, and Mr. Collings does not want to entertain two projects at the same time. It's just too much commotion for him. So until that current project's completed, they're going to just stay in the background for a little bit. But they still are interested in coming to Nashua, and maybe this spring we'll reopen some negotiations as to whether or not they're going to build a hangar or rent space or what they're going to do. I also spoke with Matt Caron about this from Gale, and he did some background investigating and realized that Collings wanted to come here and that he could fast-track all the permitting, and if they do choose to build here, we can make it happen fairly quickly.
So do you have any idea when their other projects done yet?
This spring.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing definitive. But so on another note, on September 26th, Vice Chairman Sandy Cushing Adams, Secretary Scheifele, Attorney Steve Bolton, and I met with Ambassador James Smith. He's a retired U.S. ambassador. He's also the Executive Vice President of College of Engineering and Technology and Aeronautics for Southern New Hampshire University. Our discussion focused on welcoming SNU, Southern New Hampshire University, to the Nashua Airport, and Ambassador Smith was discussing their plans for establishing a collegiate aviation program here at Nashua. He also stated that they'll be submitting a bid, which yesterday was the deadline to submit bids for purchasing properties in the bankruptcy settlement case with ITT. In particular, 79 Perimeter, which we all know is the tower building and the aviation center, and Hangar 85.
When will we know the results?
The 23rd is when we'll know, and that's...
I think that's Monday.
Is it Monday?
Yep.
Okay, so the 23rd we will know. And while we're talking about that, I received an email that I forwarded to all of you from Hellenic American. and they want to have a meeting with me on the 23rd in the afternoon. I can only assume that they put a bid in. I tried to contact them. You know, other than the email, I sent probably 3 phone messages to Mr. Slater, and I didn't hear any response. So I hope they understood what was going on, because we haven't heard from them in a long time. And maybe they put a bid in. We'll see.
Auction is 23rd. The deadline for the bid, and then the top bidders go to auction on the morning of the 23rd.
Yeah. Okay.
That's assuming there's more than one bidder per property.
Attorney Bolton suggested that we should know by the end of the month.
Right, what the final outcome is. Excuse me. September 28th.
Can we just go back a minute?
Sure.
I just think for the record, we don't talk about this for a minute. There is a disagreement of understanding between what Southern New Hampshire thinks and what the city attorney thinks. Southern New Hampshire is operating under the premise that if their bid is successful, the lease that is currently in place with National Airport Authority is null and void, and they will sit down with us and we renegotiate a new lease for the air traffic control center and the Henry Fire. There's also a requirement that should they be successful in renewing those leases, at least the other 2 lots, we are obligated by the Venture DOT to remind them that they have to build something on there. They can't leave it. It would be a violation of grant insurance that those 2 pieces of the property remain empty. And they were receptive to doing something along the line. But the key here is that Southern New Hampshire has put down a bid, and we, National Airport Authority and the city attorney, don't really think they know what they're bidding for. They think they're bidding for that piece of property. And in fact, the lease on the Air Traffic Control Center expires 30th of August of 2019. And the lease currently says that on 30th of August 2019, that building belongs to the National Airport Authority, period. We own it. So we are scratching our head trying to figure out what is Southern New Hampshire bidding on and what are they planning to do for the next 2 years. And who's going to enter into conversation with us to go beyond 30th of August of 2019? Because all they're doing is, whoever is the successful bidder, according to our attorney, is they're acquiring the right to be in that building until 30 September, unless they sit down with us and negotiate a new lease, which may be what they're planning to do. But on the 30th of August of 2019, the Air Traffic Control, the Air Aviation Center, is it also Hangar 85? Yeah,
those are different leases.
Yeah. Right.
The Aviation Center belongs to the National Airport. Period.
Okay.
Yeah, 85 is
2020.
So,
can you state your name for the record?
Sure. For the record, that's Lou. Why would the airport not entertain their continuing to operate on occupied building at that point? And why would, what are the negatives and what are the positives?
Well, the answer to the first question is there is no reason why we would not. Obviously, we want to. We encourage those of us that were in the room with them and said, you know, we want to do everything possible to bring back an aviation program, et cetera. Keep going a little deeper. The Admiral said, he said that he is in direct contact with the major airlines, and he is well aware of their dilemma
where the pipeline of pilots is drying up. And he has taken it upon himself and convinced Southern New Hampshire leadership that Southern New Hampshire is going to be in the forefront of creating new pilots. And he told us about some very, very aggressive advanced training programs that they have planned to get pilots certified quicker, give them more airtime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they are very, very interested in setting up shop at the National Airport in an aggressive manner. So obviously, the Airport Authority is very willing and able to talk to them about it. The concern that I have, and I have expressed this to Attorney Bolton, is the fact that, and he agrees that there is a confusion here with respect to what is Southern New Hampshire bidding on. They don't, there is a disagreement on how to read the terms of the contract, of the lease, and what it is they're actually buying. And he told them in our meeting, face to face, you should have your attorney read that what is written there, because you are interpreting this incorrectly. And if I'm not mistaken, Brady said he bid $200,000. The bids are in, so.
Do you have a response?
Sure. If I may. So, some of you probably know that the board met in closed session not long ago to discuss precisely this issue, and part of Attorney Bolton was a participant in the closed session. But I think to answer your first question, Wes, the Airport Authority sees the Aviation Center as a potential income source. If we were to take over the building, then of course we would be able to rent out space in that building to SNHU or whomever might be interested in occupying a portion of the building. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that would be a reason why we would want to take the building. Perhaps a reason for not wanting to take over the building is that we would then own the maintenance thereof, and that's an expense. So we have to figure that out. At any rate, so yeah, I agree that Attorney Bolton and we see kind of a disconnect there. But something else that might be at play is that as much as SNHU would like to establish a school, they don't know, they don't have a crystal ball. They don't know if it's going to succeed. And it would probably take them at least a couple of years to figure out whether it's going to work for them. So if it did not work out and they were able to win, a bid for the building at a pretty low cost, if they had to walk away from that in a couple of years when the lease is done, they'll probably just shrug. But anyway, the last thing I'd like to add, we're not going to find an answer to that problem here tonight.
The bottom line here is that there are many, many unknowns. We have not taken any positions on anything. We have to wait to find out who is the successful bidder and then go into discussions with them. So we haven't turned down anything. We haven't said no to anything. We haven't said yes to anything. We just were receptive to their plans and made it very clear that we are very, very actively interested in nurturing a return to aviation training, whoever does it. And now we have Helene knocking on the door, which we don't understand why, because as you may recall, many, many months ago, they were very, very interested in the Aviation Center. I had meetings with them. They told me they want the Aviation Center. For all we know, they want to do it. And that's why we don't know.
I just want to say that a lot of this discussion is conjecture, and that we won't know exactly what the situation will be until after the bids come through. But rest assured that the board is looking and aware of all alternatives and is working for the betterment of the community. And we will continue to keep abreast of the situation and negotiate when we need to. Wes.
If I can offer a piece of information that you might find useful. My company currently occupies a space smaller than the EU. We pay $9,000 a month for rent. So $200,000 for 2 years is not necessarily very far from what appears to be commercial rent. So that may affect, you know, their plan, and you might be able to use that.
Chris. One of the things I want to clarify is, from a legal standpoint, this is what Attorney Bolton tried to convey to Ambassador Smith was, and I don't have it in front of me, but the verbiage states that it's for an assumption of lease. It never says that they're buying the property. It clearly states it's an assumption of the lease. So the assumption of the lease is strictly, simply through this date in 2019. And that's what we've all started looking at, and Attorney Bolton has advised us, you know, just wait it out, and it is a potential income source for us in the future. So if you were asking, you know, why would we not want them here? Well, we do want them here, but if there's an opportunity, which there clearly is, and from a legal standpoint, to generate some income for the airport, that's what we're looking at.
Do you want to continue on your report?
Sure. Okay. On September 28th, the National Airport Authority staff, which was myself, Joe Callahan, and Matt Berube, we participated in an annual safety meeting with Midwest ATC's Brian Bean, and it was simply just discussing safety around the airport. We discussed the fact that we had no runway incursions, we had no wildlife bird strikes or anything like that. Pretty short meeting. On a little worse note here, on October 1st at approximately 12:30 in the afternoon, there was an accident at our airport. And it was an incident. 1975 Beach Bonanza, piloted by a Dr. Oliver Winter from Connecticut, he veered off a 3-2 after landing and ended up in a drainage ditch. The pilot and his single passenger were uninjured, and the aircraft sustained minimal damage. And that day, I went to the scene. I got called from the tower. I called Matt Berube. Bob Bird came in and assisted, as well as Bob Rennie came down. Another friend of mine showed up. And basically, when we went over there, the fire department was there. We assessed the situation. It was outside of the safety zone. So we started. I called Carol and Rita at DOT, get all the wheels turning. And we actually reopened the runway for a short period of time until we gathered my team together and gathered the equipment we needed to go and tow the thing out of the ditch, at which point we closed the airport. The airport was only closed for about an hour throughout this whole incident process. So the aircraft was removed, and it was put into a hangar. Then on the 3rd, I met with accident investigator from the FISNO in Portland, David Marsh, and Carol Nuola from New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics. And investigator Marsh's initial findings are being recorded as an incident, and I got confirmation this afternoon that it is in fact an incident, because John Leland has inspected the plane and decided that there's no structural damage. It was just skin damage. So,
was there any damage to the land, to the ditch?
Just a skid mark in the grass and a couple of rocks removed. It was amazing that there was no prop strike. If you saw the photos, as it landed in the ditch, I asked the gentleman, I said, did you shut this down before you went in? And he said, no. He goes, it was running. I did a complete shutdown after we came to rest. And how he didn't hit any rocks is beyond me, but very lucky. on the note. We've attended several meetings in the state legislature building in Concord, chaired by Ways and Means Subcommittee regarding House Bill 124. These meetings, I know Michael's been to some of us, Farrell, Dave Shoneman, Dave spoke on behalf of Nashua Airport. It's been a great presentation, and we'll kind of sum this up real quick here. We went to the meeting the other day, and the subcommittee chairman, Representative Abrami, he proposed an amendment, and the amendment was voted on and unanimously passed, made across the board. And one of the things about this amendment is a major part of it was what Nashua Airport Authority and the users and Dave Shoneman presented at this meeting, and it was a fuel tax. And actually, Wes was the original creator of this. Thank you. And that was a major part of what passed the subcommittee. It's a blended proposal. There's a weight-based registration fee, which is, well, for round number, 0 to 3,000 pounds. There's going to be a $100 fee. They wrote 200. It was a mistake. They're going to correct it. So it'll be $100 to register in a small aircraft. From 3,000 to 8,000 pounds, it'll be $250. And then from 8,000 pounds to 12.5 is going to be $2,500. And anything above 12.5 would be $3,500. And then with the fuel taxes, we had them, as part of our proposal, they amended the Jet A Carrier 121 Ops fuel tax rate from a half a cent to 2 cents per gallon, as we proposed. And Avgas, which we didn't really touch, but they made an adjustment. We all agreed to it anyway. They went from 4 cents to 8 cents. And then there's the, they're having trouble as to how they're categorizing it, but the non-121 Jet A fuel, we had proposed bringing that up to, I believe it was 8 cents?
10 cents.
10 cents, I'm sorry.
From 2 cents to 10 cents.
Right. Well, they brought that to 5.8 cents. So that was in the proposal. And that pretty much, actually more than pretty much, it turned into a neutral revenue proposal. So it was, it brought it up to there, I think it was $1.2 million.
$1.27 million, something like that. But yeah. I will note, though, if I can, that the amendment has voted on, it hasn't mentioned $100 fee, registration fee, even though that was a mistake. It's not corrected yet.
Right.
And what Abrami said, I think, you know, it's great to learn how these processes work. They came out of subcommittee. They wanted to get something out, and they got something out, and it's workable. There'll be more time and more fine-tuning over the next, it's going to be 9 months probably, because this will be exact, it's called, by the full Ways and Means Committee next week. That amendment, there may be a further amendment to change from $200 on the 0 to 3,000 pound category to $100. Abrami, I think, feels that he wants to make that up somewhere else, so he may tweak something. My opinion, and maybe he'll take it, maybe not, is that we can drop that without making any further changes, and it still works pretty well. But there was some discussion at that full committee. It's a larger committee. It may be changed there, it may not. I think that Vice Chair Abrami understands that if it's not changed, there's going to be a lot of pushback, and he doesn't want to push back. But once he gets through that process, then it's going to go to the full House. And I think that could be after the first, I'm not sure. And then if it's successful there, then it goes over to the Senate for the same process. And then if the Senate makes any changes, then it comes back to a conference committee where there's some House members and some senators. If the Senate approves it as submitted, then they don't need a conference committee, it'll just be approved. But there might be some more tweaking. So there's plenty of opportunity to tweak it. It worked pretty well. We got to a major, major hurdle with that because we've all heard about the resistance to any tax changes on fuel, particularly Part 121. And they had an airline representative, their airline, not from a particular airline, but like a lobbyist. And he made arguments that were repetitive and weak. And the committee approved from half a cent to 2 cents. So I think we're really well on the right track. There was a major milestone.
What was the response from DOT?
DOT was pretty quiet on the whole thing. I think they see that they're being made whole, and that's their chief concern. I'm not sure they care where the money comes from. They prefer it not be an appropriation, because I know how that can be a big battle every year. And I think that Abrami was able to get them more money than is just being lost by changing the millage. So I think that they're generally pleased. Really, it's only $1 million to make them whole, but he managed to get them $1.25 million, which is why I say if we just go down to 100 and we lose a little bit of that, they still get a heck of a lot more, 20% more than they had before. So I think DOT is pretty much everybody was okay. The gentleman who represents the New Hampshire Pilots Association, he's the one who basically endorsed a week ago $100 fee on those lightest aircraft. And Abrami heard that as 200. It's not recordings and all that sort of stuff in there. So he spoke and said 200 would be very problematic. But nobody else really argued against. Plain Sense, who's really the biggest beneficiary of this legislation, argued that as Part 135 and Part 91K, they should be treated as Part 121, so their fuel taxes take at 2 cents while everyone else is going.
About everything.
You know, I got to give the guy a lot of credit. You know, he got this much and he went for this much.
Right.
You know, he got this much and he went for that much.
Yeah.
I had lunch with Marty Jackson at the midfield today.
Representative Jack.
Correct, I'm sorry. And he told me that he had spoken with Representative Abrami, and that I believe they're going to try to make that change at this next meeting next week from the 200 to the 100, because he did admit that it was an error. But like Alderman Shoneman said, that they just wanted to pass something through, because if it doesn't get through the subcommittee, it's done. And so it's moving now.
I think that's a very good sign, because they're very anxious. Abrami is very anxious to make sure that something happens.
Did the head of the Pilots Association also endorse the increase in AFCAS?
He did.
He did?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in that, only because the chief beneficiaries of this are not AFCAS burners.
Right.
They're dead A burners, and that's who I think, that's what our proposal, and if they had gone with that, I mean, part of it is compromise. It's just the way it works. So we got a lot of what Wesley put together. It was great. You moved the state. I'll tell you that. You moved the state of New Hampshire. That's great. Really, it's huge. It's huge. So we got a lot of what we wanted. We didn't get exactly what we wanted, but, you know, Plain Sense, big player.
Oh, yeah.
They had some leverage too, and DOT has leverage, and everyone kind of came in from a little different position, but I would say that the position that we outlined.
Thank you for that update. Anything else?
Just one more thing. As you know, we've been acquiring pieces of equipment. I wrote GIS programs. It's GSA program, sorry. Matt acquired a couple new pieces of equipment in the past month. We got a John Deere 524 front-end loader, and a Ford 655 four-wheel drive loader backup. And these equipment have a little bit of rust on them, but the loader will function just fine. It works perfectly. Both of them operate perfectly. And he's been working on the loader backhoe to take care of some of the rust on it. But all in all, we got these machines for free. And I know you discussed earlier how we're a little bit over budget on maintenance. A lot of that had to do with we had to hire flatbed trucks to pick these things up. And we've had to put some money into them. But overall, he's done a great job of acquiring all this equipment. That's it.
Any questions?
Yeah, if I may make an additional comment or two about 124.
Go right ahead.
So, a couple things I'll note about the current the current amendments to 124. It's important to note that the millage, which is now eliminated in the amendment, that times out over a 10-year period. And the graduated weight-based fees that are now being proposed that are part of the amendment, those don't have any 10-year timeout. So what that means is that, that some people who have been enjoying paying $48, say, because their airplane timed out of the millage, are now going to be looking at a bigger bill. So there may be some pushback for that. I think there's at least a couple Goonie Birds registered in state, and those were carved out as antiques in the previous language. I think that's off the table too. So now those guys will be asked to pay $3,500. So those things might be significant. A little while ago, Abrami asked DOT when they proposed their weight-based, graduated registration fee proposal. They asked who will be the winners and who will be the losers. And so there will be a number of airplane owners in the state who will quote unquote lose because they'll be looking at their bills going from, $48 to say $3,500 if they got a bigger airplane or, some other larger fee. So, that's important to know. And, there might be some pushback due to that.
What Rami said, when he emphasized repeatedly that, the process is not over. Once that committee voted on it, he said, now it's going to be public. And I think that we're going to start to hear from those folks as the news gets out. And then as that happens, then there will be some more fine-tuning. I think there's going to be some other changes. I would anticipate that. Those folks, the proposal that we had, but we're no losers. That was a nice thing, we're only winners. Mm-hmm. Everyone pays a little more fuel tax, but still, overall, we were winners on the field. But this does have some winners and some losers.
Okay. Thank you all. Good discussions. Airport engineer.
Okay. I was asked to apologize profusely. Matt Karen could not attend tonight. His wife was out of town. He had to watch the children. So the first project on the agenda here is the master plan update. Excuse me. At last month's meeting, chapters 1 through 4 were presented and approved. Gail is currently working on chapter 5, which is the facility requirements. Matt has been coordinating with Farrell on a joint meeting between the master plan committee and the strategic planning committee. And I spoke to Farrell briefly before the meeting, looking like sometime, was it end of the month?
It looks like we're converging on October 30th.
So at that meeting, they can discuss Chapter 5 in great detail. So recommended actions at this time, there are none. Any questions regarding the master plan? Hopefully I can answer them. The next project is the Haven Maintenance Project. Again, this project is substantially complete. The final reimbursement request and project closeout documentation has been prepared. However, we're still waiting for the contractor's final pay estimate. I submitted that to them for review 2 weeks ago and have not heard anything back. And I spoke to Bruce yesterday. He said that Bill Crane, the site super, has done a different job, but he sent it to him, and Bill's going to get to that as soon as he can. Once we receive that estimate, we can process the closeout documentation and the final reimbursement, and that project will be closed out. So recommended actions are to review and sign the closeout documents upon receipt. Any questions regarding the payment maintenance?
I assume you're pushing to get that closed out before any calendar year, even though it's October, but...
Yes, I had expected to have already sent out the packages. We were just waiting on the September invoicing. But this sort of hiccup with the contractor's pay estimate is what's delaying things. So, hoping to have it closed out. I told Carol we had it closed out October, so still hoping for it. The third project here is the groove and seal. NADOT has received the executed grant packages from the authority. The project has been placed on the next agenda at the Governor and Council, which is tentatively scheduled for November 12th. Now that sort of interferes with the tentative start of construction as well. which I think we were looking at the second week in November as the start of construction date. Being that the governor and council is not meeting until the 12th, I've talked to the contractor. They're aware that they can't start the second week in November. And as that time approaches, they'll sort of try to nail down a schedule.
From that date there, what's the prospective timeline from their meeting to
Once governor and council approves it, they'll issue a letter to the airport, and once you receive that, we can schedule the pre-construction conference and get ready to work. So if everything falls into place perfectly, by the end of the month, we will have started.
Is there any reason that the governor's council would not just give an approval? Do they?
I haven't seen it happen. They usually tend to seeing that 90% of the project is being paid for by the FAA. They tend to sort of rubber stamp those. I looked up last meeting's agenda, and it was like 197 items that they needed to go through and approve, from DOT to, New Hampshire DOT Aeronautics, rails, highway, schools, public health. They have to approve everything that the state expends as part of a public program. So where things aren't coming out of the funding coffers for the state, they tend to push them right through. So again, I have not seen a project not be approved, but I would not advise the...
So now we're looking at perhaps the end of November start date?
Correct.
Yeah. Captain Langston.
The holiday week there would be...
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
Yeah, a strange kind of...
Probably around 1 December-ish.
Yeah. Ideally before first snow. Again, the grooving would only be 5 days.
And how are we alerting the community as to schedules and
structures? I've worked with Chris on a tentative schedule that the airport would post on their website. However, the delay that the governor and council meeting poses sort of, everything's a moving target right now. We can't say whether, if we get governor and council approval, we could, schedule the pre-construction conference, but the contractor may say, well, our schedule, won't permit us to get there this week, or we had a job get canceled so we can get there this week.
Would it be overstepping to maybe post something more in general, like during the month of December,
expect
5 nights worth of nighttime closure due to, just to give ourselves a window?
Yeah.
Is that relatively safe?
Tricky until now because we just didn't know what these dates were going to be.
Right, just given sort of the timeline that we think will unfold, just in general,
I understand, Chris, I think, wants to be as detailed as possible with the information.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't want to get misinformation either, so I understand completely. I guess it would be up to the authority
put something up. Just in terms of give people a heads up for night ops, that, hey, maybe if I'm thinking of planning something for December, I should give a call or check or say, hey, that project really still on board or something.
Right.
And we did put something out already, but we thought we were in, I believe it was the second week of November.
Right.
So we'll have to amend that.
And in the meantime, Gail received executed notices of award and contracts from the contractor. So once governor and council approve the project, Gail will have the authority to execute the contracts, and then we can get to work. I sort of unofficially made myself a steward of those contracts, given that they're not fully executed. I'll hold on to them until governor and council approves the expenditure, and then I'll send them around for final signatures, if that's okay with you guys, or Chris, if you'd like to hold on to them and deliver them to you.
I don't think it makes a difference either way.
Okay. Fair. So actions requested of the authority, none this month. Any questions on the roof and seal project at this point?
Just in terms of colder is better, right? In terms of temperature?
Colder is better for the roof.
Just no snow.
Correct.
So.
And, winter is the snow is sort of ebbs and flows. You know, you can get a couple of weeks where you don't have any accumulation.
These years have been going, December's still late fall.
I played golf in December last year, so hopefully we have another December like that. And now the fourth project is the purchase of snow removal equipment. That is the airport's 2018 project. The current status has changed a little bit, so I believe I added this the previous month and had notes about the scoping meeting. So, Mike, being if you weren't here, we can go through them again. Gail conducted the scoping meeting for this project on August 2nd at Gail's office in Bedford, New Hampshire. Based on the information gathered, the airport is eligible for two pieces of equipment, a grader with a wing plow and a front-end loader. The estimated project cost for both pieces is approximately $450,000. The funding for this project, using FAA discretionary funds is unlikely. So the airport may use their non-prime entitlement, which totals to $150,000. The remaining funds necessary to acquire both pieces would have to be secured prior to finalizing the scope of work. Gail reached out to the Mount Washington Airport, the Dean Memorial Airport, and more recently the Skyhaven Airport, all of whom DOT reported they did not have projects this year. Since we updated this and sent it over, I coordinated additionally with those airports. It seems as though Dean Memorial is selling 3 years of entitlements to Keene. And I think the driving factor behind that is that they have the same consultant. Dean Memorial and Keene, both DuBois and King. Keene has some big projects coming up, and DuBois and King wants to pad their pockets. So they are suggesting that even though Nashua may beat the offer from Keene, they're suggesting that they negotiate a fee with Keene and not entertain Nashua's offer. It's unfortunate, but I suppose that's the nature of the beast. I did leave it, the ball in their court and said Nashua is really looking to purchase this equipment. If you guys, are interested in hearing what they have to offer, I'm sure they can make, a reasonable offer, compared to Keene. So,
can I just say something?
Absolutely.
I know that Nick had told me that he's been dealing with Dennis Cunningham, the manager of Dean Memorial. And Dennis told Nick that there's a commission, and the commission made the decision not to entertain any offers from Nashua. Is that correct?
Not that they specifically excluded Nashua from making an offer, but the commission was comfortable dealing with Keene and allowing DuBois and King to broker the deal.
Did we hear from the other two airports?
Yes. Skyhaven is actually managed by the Peace Development Authority. And I spoke to Paul Breen, who's the manager of both Peace and Skyhaven. And he said that Skyhaven is scoping or conducting their CIP meeting later this month, and that they would know whether or not they'll have a 2018 project after 27th. So, pending the results of that meeting, they may or may not have entitlement to offer. So we're still waiting on that. And then the Mount Washington Regional Airport gave a vague, we're not in a position to transfer entitlement this year. So it seems as though the two-piece of SRE project is on hold momentarily. Although NHDOT did say that they can use state apportionments to make up the excess funds that Nashua doesn't have in entitlements. So at the very least, we can acquire the grader that the airport desperately needs to replace that 1985 Fiat Halley. But the second loader looks, at least for the time being, so I have prepared a draft scope and fee for a single piece of equipment, and I forwarded that to Chris this afternoon. I'd like to have Chris take a look at it, and then we can discuss that among the authority at a later time, maybe next month's meeting if need be.
Have we reached out to any other airports?
Those were the only three airports that did not have projects for 2018 that used those entitlements. So, no, we have not reached out to other airports in the state of New Hampshire because we've more than under the assumption that their entitlements would be used next year.
I think DOT would agree to that.
Carol fed us that information. She's the one that, from New Hampshire DOT, that tells us who has the MBEs that may be available in those three airports.
What is the availability of this equipment? I mean, is this made for, manufactured for us? Or?
Yes, the equipment would be manufactured.
So we're not talking about having it for this year?
No. The design would probably take us through, depending on when we start, through January.
Okay.
We put it out to bid, apply for the grant, get the funds, and then procure the equipment. We would have it most likely early fall next year.
Any other questions for the
what is, and then again,
did your plans include any pay? Last year, I don't know if that's the same market, but last year they repaid the first of the south, and I know that they weren't able to do that.
Correct. Well, the pavement maintenance project on the 3-2-1 this year has been completed. There are other projects on the airport's capital improvement plan that sort of classify as the same type of project. And I've actually looked at some of the pavement areas with Chris, and it's certainly needed. However, next year there is no plans to perform a pavement maintenance project. Next year's project would be the sealing portion of the groove and seal project and snow removal equipment. And then I believe the following year, off the top of my head, I can't remember.
There's several that were interdependent to the taxiway, and there was a lot of moving parts that we needed to.
I have one thing. There's an alternate source of grants that's on the DOT Bureau of Aeronautics website that Carol had put together, and she suggested that I start looking at those. So I went through the list the other day, and I started reading a bunch of them. I said, well, I have to start somewhere, and so I started with one. And the one they had listed only gives grants to people in Rhode Island. So I was like, I called Carol. I said, can you give me a little clarification here, a little direction? You know, has anybody used any of these alternate grant sources and been successful with them? The answer was no. Okay, so none of these have been tested. She goes, well, we've asked people to, you know, bring forward any comments. Well, here's my first comment. This one's for people in Rhode Island, so you can strike that right off the list. And as we went through the list, Carol and I did, there was really nobody on the list that would give any type of grant for snow removal equipment, period. So the only sources that we really had available were those three airports, and they have either bartered theirs away to somebody else already, or they're saving them for their own projects. And I did have, in that same conversation with Carol, that's when I said, well, where does this leave us? $150,000 doesn't get us our grader. That's a $330,000 piece of equipment. You know, what about these discretionary funds, the state funds that you've talked about? And her exact words to me was, yes, we can make that work. So that's why we're leaning towards just the grader, not the grader and the loader this year.
Anything else? Any other questions? No, that's the end of my agenda.
Good. Thank you very much. Committee reports. Master plan committee, we touched on already.
Yes. So there's been no activity in the master plan committee this past month, but you know, I know that Gail is working on, you know, chapter 5, Matt's working on that for us. And you know, we're trying to settle upon a date for a combined master plan committee and strategic planning committee meeting. And right now, from my perspective, it's looking like it's converging toward October 30.
What it seemed like in the emails that I had.
Yeah. You know, I haven't got much response from the people I sent that to earlier this week, except for, you know, Carol and, you know, and Matt. So if you, hopefully October 30 is going to work. I'll send out another email blast and say, hey, this is the date.
Well, from our side, because I talked to Mike about our conflict with too many board members, so Dave, it would be you, Chris, and myself, the 30th. I think the 30th works for us, so there's that part of the pie for you.
Okay.
It works for me.
And I'm available for that.
Excellent. Thank you. And again, we'll schedule this in you know, in the late part of the afternoon, because you know, obviously most of us have other things to do during the workday.
So that was knocking off two committees
session.
Yeah.
One quick comment on the strategic thing is that obviously, I might have mentioned this last month, but we're going to work to just work primarily on the master planning stuff. When we talked about the CFP stuff, we looked at where we're sort of at a strategic crossroads with two main elements that are in our mission statement for the airport: education, and then obviously the influx of commercial business and jets and everything is dependent upon HB 124. So we've got some outcomes to see how they outcome before we can proceed much further in detail on the strategic side. So.
Old business.
I have a question, Chris. You resolved the transposing issue, but not the
Well, we talked about that at the last meeting. Susan and I talked about this the other day, and I believe we had resolved it, but I did get some documentation here regarding that. They have a 20-year extension in place that takes them through, that will, hang on a second. So from the first day of May 2027, they have an option to exercise a 20-year extension already. So that brings them to 2047. And I think that's what we had decided in the last meeting, that we were going to honor this and go no further.
And that's what we did agree to.
Right.
Okay, so I didn't know when we
were. Right. But I just tried this out because I wanted to see it tonight. Bob.
Thanks.
I had a question on our audit draft. Are we on schedule to receive that the next month?
The audit is draft is complete. They're waiting for the property to sign off on it. And we're also waiting for the governance that needs to be completed by our oversight. So they're waiting for that, and they're just waiting for the department to review the audit, and we'll be sending it out to you.
Any new business? Any upcoming events? Okay. Public input. Okay, moving right along. Director's comments.
I was asked by the city if for the November meeting, if we would be willing to hold our meeting in room 208 of the space. And we kicked this around a little bit, and if we were to have that meeting there tonight, we would not have fit. We would be crammed in there. So I worked it out with them. The city needs this room on the Wednesday night that we normally meet for a ceremony, and I worked it out with the organizer that they would start their meeting 30 minutes earlier and we would start our meeting 30 minutes later, and everybody was happy. So the November meeting will be in this room 6:30 instead of 6 o'clock in November. Alderman Shulman, do you have some information you can give us with respect to this meeting tomorrow night?
Not a lot. You saw what I sent out.
Is this the Penichuk Water thing?
No, it's not Penichuk Water. It's a transportation committee meeting, and let me see if I can find any mail. It came from Alderman Melise Golia, and it's apparently a series of meetings, discussion meetings, that are like public meetings, to discuss, for the state representatives to discuss the 10-year plan, and it's a 10-year transportation plan. And So apparently included something, some kind of discussion about National Airport. I took a look at it today. Chris was right to point out to me that it did not contain the link, and I went back. I sent the link to Chris. I think maybe you have gotten it by this time.
I guess, yeah, right? I didn't get it till later, so I just made a copy of it and just gave it off.
So it's a 30-page, 40-page document that's attached there. Somewhere in that schedule is Barfield. Now, is that the email, or is that?
That's the attachment with the Barfield.
Okay, so it lists 10 projects. Probably ought to show this what do you know? Do you know anything about this meeting tomorrow night at National Community College?
I have not heard.
Okay.
It's pretty vague.
It just basically says the dollar amount assigned to each of these various years.
It might have come off the box CIP.
Maybe. I don't know where it came from.
Kind of looks like it does.
It does.
Do those numbers ring a bell to you generally, or?
You figure,
the numbers are quite a bit larger than I expected.
341 sounds about right for the equipment.
Okay.
A million for another pavement maintenance job. 359. I know there was a couple of snow removal projects.
Right. And that's what I thought it was.
So maybe they expanded CIT. So then the $7 million, is that taxiway or something, or what's that?
That's probably parallel taxiway.
And that's in 2023. Okay. So I have no idea. What page is that? Does it say what page that is? Of how many? Page 115 to 229. That's where Barfield is. So there's 229 pages of projects throughout the state that are going to be somehow available for some kind of comment tomorrow. I've never been to one of these things. It might not hurt to have someone go, but there's not going to be any detail discussed on 229 pages worth of 10-year transportation plan items. And it includes a lot of things. The first part, it talks about all the various towns in alphabetical order and what roads are being repaved or what project in the town is being done. It gets down to Nashua and it talks about the airport. Now, maybe other airports are listed in there, too?
I think this one, excuse me, Dave, is focusing on Nashua. Is that what the email said, only the Nashua projects?
Is that what it said?
I'd have to look at it again, but I believe that's...
So this is not the Penachuck?
No.
Issue that they requested
no.
permission
to
have a water main along parallel?
No, this has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
2 days ago, Penachuck sent me an email requesting an easement to run a water line under the railroad tracks at Deerwood Drive onto the airport property and then down to Northwest Boulevard, which is kind of like where National Sports Academy is down that area. And they want to schedule a meeting, so I put a phone call in, and I'm waiting for a return call from that gentleman. And I think my suggestion, I told Susan this morning, is I'll get together with him, I'll find out what he wants, and have him come to next month's board meeting, so we can present it to the board.
You know, the city's website talks in very vague terms, too. It says the New Hampshire Department of Transportation and the Governor's Advisory Council on Intermodal Transportation will hold a public hearing of NHDOT's recommended update of the state's 10-year transportation program.
Intermodal. No, that's the kind of meeting where they talk about what they're going to do.
And when is this notice posted?
Yeah, exactly.
Posted on October 16th on the city's website. 72 hours before the meeting.
Yeah. It just says, just a reminder that GASIC, whatever that is, says just has added additional hearings on the 10-year plan.
Right. That's the Governor's Advisory Council on Intermodal Transportation.
It says that it's passing direct. So there's a number of these meetings around the state. I don't think it's just Nashua, but it's in Nashua. Proposed projects are listed by community in alphabetical order, in addition to road projects. Nashua has proposed projects related to the pedestrian safety along the English Highway, Barfield, and Nashua Transit System. I hope you're able to attend and express your thoughts about the proposed plan.
So who's planning to go to that?
I was thinking of 7.
If I know, I will. I think I've got a conflict tomorrow night.
My comment to the chairman was the fact that these are not projects where you're going to go into a grocery store and buy a container of milk. These things are long-term projects, and we're getting notified. It would be nice if you could have somebody there, and we're told the day before it happens, and that's really not fair.
Well, not only that, but they're carrying the full grant amount, not the local or state portion of it. So it makes it look like we're taking $23 million of the American budget.
Where is that? Where is that money?
So we really don't have anything to talk about with respect to Penn and Chubb.
No, not at this time.
They're requesting an easement.
Yep. I sent you
details of all.
Yep. I sent you what they sent me, and I put a call in to the gentleman that sent the email, and I've not heard back.
For everybody, Penn and Chubb is saying that they want their, against their 10-year program, I think, to improve the water lines, etc., and they're going out along Amherst Street, and they want to come into the airport and go along the fence, and they want to put a line in through there. Would they want an easement? Okay, fine. So we need to talk about that, and obviously we need to have a chop on that as well. What are they going to do to our airport?
Right, that's why I just said we'll discuss this at next month's meeting. I'll have a session with Penichuk to find out what it is exactly they want, and I'll discuss it with Nick and Matt to make sure that this doesn't create any conflict with any future plans we have out there. I don't believe it will, but we'll look at that.
That's what
they're planning. And then we'll bring the information to you at next month's board meeting.
The last item I had was, are we ready for snow?
It's not coming this year.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, we're ready for snow. We have a personnel meeting on Tuesday of next week where we're getting the whole snowplow crew in, and we're going to go over all.
How many temporaries are you going to hire?
Well, we're short one guy right now because Dennis has decided not to plow anymore. He let us know the other day. So I put the feeler out with Bill Green from Continental because they lay people off in the winter, and he potentially has a guy for me to replace Dennis. But as it is right now, it's Joe, Matt, myself, Bob DeMeo, Bob Donadio, and that's it for right now. So we're trying to get one more guy. I'm also going to put a call in to Paul Wallace. He's the guy that retired from Public Works earlier this year. He said he wanted to work part-time, and he changed his mind. Now I'm hearing through the grapevine that he may want to come to plow for us this winter. So I think he's enjoying retirement for a few weeks here right now. But we're ready. All the equipment's ready. Matt's been working real hard, making sure everything's running and running well. And it's all ready to go.
Sure.
All set. Thank you.
Right.
I'm all set.
As am I. Thank you all for coming. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Thank you all.
Why not?